Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Today we'll be looking at a twofold revelation. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. But our text will be found in verse 27. I'd like to read the context of our verse. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So he's revealed them unto babes, and it's good in the Father's sight. All things are delivered. Now here's our Master speaking. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ, we who believe, and the confidence we have in him, will be in accordance with the knowledge and the appreciation we have of him. Peter wrote this. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter wrote this in closing his second epistle to those that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wrote this to believers. And he wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're to grow in grace and we're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So as God the Holy Spirit teaches us through the preaching of the Scriptures and through the reading of the Scriptures and through the studying of the Scriptures, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to desire this as believers. We're to desire this. If we come to a place where we think that we cannot learn from the preaching of the Word, or we feel like we're getting nothing out of the messages that are being proclaimed, then we're in a world of trouble. We're in a world of trouble. Because no matter which one of God's preachers are proclaiming the message, right? Because that's what it is. It's the message. It's not the man. It's the message. No matter which one of God's preachers are proclaiming it, we learn and grow. And we receive a blessing from the Lord. And so we are to desire as believers, we're to desire as believers to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're to desire this. To grow in the knowledge of his person. To grow in the knowledge of his office. To grow in the knowledge of his amazing grace, which has been bestowed upon us who believe. To grow in the knowledge of who he is. And think of this. Nothing is more valuable for the believer than growing in the knowledge of Christ. Because what does it do? What does it do for us, for we who believe, as we grow in the knowledge and grace of Christ. It builds up our faith. And we rely more and more upon Him and less upon ourselves. Less upon ourselves. Because we know that all spiritual blessings are in our Savior, in our King. And this is why the Scriptures are full of Christ. Brother Matt, you preached on the thread. There's a thread through this book, starting in Genesis. There's a red thread through this book, starting in Genesis and all the way to Revelation. And it's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. And this is what the preachers, we proclaim that. We proclaim Christ. And the Scriptures are full of Christ. I remember, you've heard me say many times, Joe and I were talking about this, in religion, we were always told that the Old Testament's for the Jews and the New Testament's for believers. No, it's not. The whole book is for believers. Because the whole book testifies of Him. It testifies of Christ. He is the continuation, the continuing thread through the whole book. Christ and His blood and His righteousness. Oh, He's in the types and shadows. And the Scriptures declare who He is. Who He is. And as we are taught by the Spirit, we gain a greater knowledge of Him. And it doesn't puff us up. No, it doesn't puff the it might puff the hypocrite up, but it doesn't puff the true believer up. It brings us low. It brings us low. Oh my, what a Savior, what a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Scriptures declare and testify Christ. They declare and testify Christ. Remember John chapter 5, verse 39, the Scriptures declare this. Search the Scriptures. Now remember, that's speaking the Old Testament. The New Testament wasn't even written then. Search the Scriptures. Why? And this is the Master saying this. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. The Scriptures testify of Christ. The Old Testament testifies of Christ. Christ and Christ alone. And God reveals Christ through the Scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul testified of this in Galatians chapter 1 when he said this, "For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 proclaims that God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. All that God has to say to us, He says to us through Christ. Through Christ. Through His Son. In the Scriptures. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. This is absolutely marvelous. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us. Who's this written to? It's written to believers, isn't it? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom He hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Now who has the power? Christ has all the power, according to that Scripture right there. He has it all. When He had by Himself, with no help from anyone, by Himself, purged our sins. Oh, praise God. Christ did it all. He did it all. He purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels hath He said at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. Worship Him, Christ. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels and spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, Christ is God, God incarnate in the flesh. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. My. So the Scriptures declare that Christ is the bread of life. He's the bread of life for His people. Christ is the water of life for His people. The Scriptures declare He's the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but by him. The scriptures declare, plainly declare, that Christ came to save his people from their sins. We need to be saved. Christ came to save his people from their sins. And how did, and he did this at Calvary. And scriptures declare he's our shepherd, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our substitute, our surety, our Lord, and our King. So a greater knowledge of who he is, of his sufferings for us. And remember, he suffered for us that we might be delivered from our sins. A greater knowledge of who he is will help our unbelief and our fears, which fill the redeemed's heart with joy. Because we all have fears and we all struggle with unbelief. If we don't, we're lying. But to think upon Christ, to think upon his, who he is, will fill the redeemed's heart with joy. Knowing I can't keep myself, but my soul is entrusted to the one who can keep me. Who can keep me from falling. And it'll fill the redeemed's heart with joy unspeakable. And turn our lips to praise his mighty name. The soul that has been bought to see their need of the Savior knows that the one who they are going to trust their eternal souls to must have power to save. He must have power to save. He must have authority to save. And he must have intention to save. Look at our verse, Matthew 11, verse 27. We see them all there. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Well, he has power and authority right there. He has all power and all authority right there. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man save the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There's his intention to save his people. Right there. He has all power, he has all authority, and he has intention to save his people. And our Lord condescends, leaves the glories and splendors of heaven, and teaches us by his word in this verse that all three of these things belong to him. Power belongs to him because he is God incarnate in the flesh. He has all power. He's the creator and upholder of all things. Authority belongs to him as he, all things are delivered unto him of the Father. And then we see his intention. Why he came in this text. Note his willingness to save his people. Whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He reveals himself to his people, and God's people says, praise God he does, because I never would have known him unless he revealed himself to me. Now note in our text that Christ is the one who reveals God. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ is the one who reveals God. He who is of God came to reveal the Father, Son, and the Spirit, to give us a knowledge of who he is. And this means more than just a knowledge of knowing that there is a God. Men know this by nature, even though they deny it. And the Lord didn't just come to tell us that there's a God, because the devils believe that and tremble. He came to reveal this truth to us, to his people, to give us a knowledge of God, to give us a knowledge that he would save us from our sins, and that he has, a knowledge of how we approach God only in him. He's the one mediator between God and man. Did you know this before the Lord saved you? I didn't have a clue. Now I know, because he's revealed it. And now you know, you who believe know, because he's revealed it to you. And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. He came to reveal God to his people, that we might hope in his mercy. I ask, do you hope in his mercy? Yes. Why? Because he's revealed himself to you, who he is. Oh, what hope we have in him. To be found in Christ alone. And he came to reveal to us that God is our Father. that we might love Him and glory in Him for His goodness and for His grace, which has been poured out upon us. Think of this, we who are redeemed, which His mercy and His grace, which has been poured out upon us in abundance through Christ. Through Christ. Given to us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're sitting here redeemed, you have all spiritual blessings in Christ. And it's just a gift from God. He's given that to you. My. And He came to give us a knowledge of His own person by His Spirit. By His Spirit. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1 again. And we'll look at verse 3. And then put your finger in John chapter 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And then John chapter 14. And then if you can, put your finger in Philippians chapter 2. I know I got us turning around a lot here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He came to give us a knowledge of God in His own blessed person, who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So He comes and gives us a knowledge of God in His own blessed person in Christ. Now look at John chapter 14. If you've seen Him, He told His disciples, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known Me, Philip? He that has seen Me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Now turn, if you would, over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Christ gives us a knowledge of who God is. He's God Himself, God incarnate in the flesh. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now think of this. Remember who He is. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John chapter 1 it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of what? No reputation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God incarnate in the flesh. What condescension here. What condescension. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. What a servant. A servant who comes to save His people from their sins. God Himself was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Now think of this. There is no greater humility than Christ condescending from glory to become a man, to die for the sins of His people. Think of the most humble person you know. And remember this too, if a person thinks they're humble, they're not. But think of someone that you know who's humble. They don't even come close to the humility of our Savior. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedient in His life for us, and obedient in His death for us. Dying upon the cross, shedding His blood to pay, as I mentioned this morning, the mountain of sin debt for every one of His people. Gone. He paid it all. So think of this, beloved. God in creation and providence, we see much about God's greatness and goodness and wisdom and power. If people look out upon the earth and the beauty that we see here, they can see his power and creation and providence, but it does not give them a saving knowledge. Salvation is found in looking to Christ. How are you saved? Look to Christ and don't move a muscle. Look to Christ and don't move a muscle. Look to Him. We're saved by looking to Christ, by faith. We can see Him by faith, and when God grants us faith to believe and repentance before Him, when we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, we look to Christ by faith. And this is revealed to us only by the Spirit, through the preaching of His Word or through the reading of His Word. And I think my prayer is, if you do not know Him, if you're here today and you do not know Him, or if someone listening in does not know Him, or someone who will listen does not know Him, the prayer of God's people is that He would reveal Himself to you. That He would grant you faith to believe, and that you may look to Him without moving a muscle. That you look to Him for the salvation of your souls. So let us turn our eyes to the cross and see the Lord of glory hanging upon the tree. See the bleeding, beaten substitute dying upon the tree in the place of His people. One may ask, who is He? Who is He? What has He done to die like this? Well, He's the Son of God, the Son of God's love, in whom there is no sin, no guile, the spotless Lamb of God. Why was He scourged, wounded, tormented, humiliated, and nailed to the tree? Why are these men mocking Him and mocking Him, mocking His sufferings? Why doesn't He destroy them? Beloved, He suffered these things to reveal the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. How the justice of God and the mercy of God meet and are reconciled in Christ's death as our substitute. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. And God has a sacrifice worthy of Himself in Christ and Christ alone, who is the sinless sacrifice for His people. And God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. And this displays the wisdom of God in our salvation. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 to 7, Scripture declares this: For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. They didn't satisfy God. Then said I, Lo, I come, speaking of Christ, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The wisdom of God in Christ appearing to put away our sin. And He did this by His death. The wisdom of God is on full display in the death of Christ at Calvary's cross. For then must He have suffered, often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. Now He's sinless. Whose sins is He putting away? The sins of His people. By the sacrifice of Himself. By the sacrifice of Himself. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The work is done, beloved. The work is done. God is satisfied. And so the display at the cross The death of Christ displays the wisdom of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Now, isn't that wonderful? There's no need for any more sacrifices. He's the one offering for our sins forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because the work's done. It's finished. From henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstools. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How are we perfected forever? But we're still sinners. But the believer is clothed in the spotless righteousness of God, of Christ. It's amazing. And we will sin until we get home to glory. But when God looks upon his people, he sees them clothed in the perfect spotless righteousness of Christ. My goodness. Christ was obedient unto death, and he has made an end of sin for his people. He paid it all. He paid it all. And he has brought in everlasting righteousness. And God's people say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior is Jesus Christ my Lord. Again, let us turn our eye of faith to the cross and see that he suffered these things to reveal the love of God. He suffered these things to reveal the love of God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Christ. To make his son an offering for sin. And the believer says, for my sin. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You want proof that God loves sinners? Oh my, look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, and then put your finger in Romans chapter 5. It's three chapters back. Look at this. Someone may ask, they want proof that God loves sinners. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God the Father spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. Who's that? His people. His elect. Look at the Son of God on that cursed tree, dying as our substitute, bearing the sins of those who are sinners to the core. We who are sinners by nature. We who are sinners by choice. We who are sinners by practice, and behold Christ dying on that cross for sinners. And I tell you this, you will never see a greater manifestation of love than that which God revealed at Calvary's cross in the sacrifice of his Son. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commanded his love toward us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Again, let us turn our eye of faith to the cross and see that he suffered these things to reveal the justice of God. To reveal the justice of God, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He cannot The Son cannot be spared because He must save His people from their sins. Therefore, He must die in their place as their substitute to satisfy God's justice. The holy justice of God that barred the way to God has now been satisfied. Has now been satisfied in such a way that now we can say that we have been saved as much by it as by the mercy of God. God's justice cannot demand the debt be paid twice. Christ has paid the debt for His people in full by the shedding of His own precious blood. And because of our Lord's death upon the cross as the substitute of His people, God can be just and the justifier of His people. God's mercy is on display in the forgiveness of the sins of His people by Christ dying as our substitute. God is just and faithful to forgive sin and declare His righteousness in justifying those who believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. The knowledge of God is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as we see Him now reigning in glory. He's no longer the man of sorrows, humiliated. No, beloved, He's sitting upon the throne. He's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in glory. The one mediator between God and man. Far above all principality and power, reigning over all and doing His will. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 2. I almost said chapter 2. There's only just Psalm 2. Psalm 2. And we see this in the Scriptures, the reign of the Anointed One, the reign of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He's absolutely sovereign. He laughs at men shaking their fist at Him. That's what the Scripture declares. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. We do not want God to speak to us in His wrath. And praise God for the believer. The wrath of God has been appeased by Christ Jesus our Lord. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. There He is all power. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You ever seen a pot that's been smashed into so many different pieces you can't put it back together? Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Christ. And in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, and He sits enthroned in glory. And we have this revealed to us by Christ, that God is the God of all grace, and that it is He who saved us. Peter says this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace who hath called us. Salvation's of the Lord. It's His doing. And think upon this, you who are receivers of this grace. It's plentiful grace, beloved. It's pardoning grace. It's covenant grace. It's calling grace. It's electing grace. It's preserving grace. And it's all found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's all being revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. God's grace is eternal grace. God's grace is electing grace. God's grace is enabling grace as He makes us willing in the day of His power. He makes the unwilling willing. And God's grace is enduring grace because He keeps us from falling. And one day He'll present us faultless before His throne. And what a day that will be. What a day that will be. And think of this, you who are redeemed by the blood of the Savior. Remember in Luke chapter 15, the three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. What a picture we have of God's amazing saving grace. And it pictures what happens even in our lives. Right? We were that wandering sheep. We were that lost coin. We were that prodigal son. My. Grace finds the sinner. Grace finds the sinner. And this grace is in Christ. Grace finds the sinner. Grace pardons the sinner. Grace sustains the sinner. Grace restores the sinner. And grace takes the sinner to glory forever. And all that grace is found in Christ and Christ alone. Nowhere else. And it's revealed to us by Him as the Holy Spirit of God teaches us. We learn of His death as our substitute. We learn of His rising from the grave for our justification. We learn of His ascending up to glory. And we learn that He is reigning right now, interceding for us. We learn this. Being taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Again, look at our text. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. And we are taught that Christ has the power and the authority to raise and convert dead sinners to life. Saul of Tarsus is an example in Scripture of this. And so is every one of us who are saved by His grace. And in Christ, we have the knowledge of the riches of God which are only found in Him. And He has all power and authority to sustain, strengthen, and glorify all who believe on His name. Have you believed upon Christ? Oh, I pray that God will give you grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of God is His. It's His. And He has come to give us a knowledge of His person by His Spirit. Again, in our text, it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Now we have Christ revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We have Christ revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Note this over in Acts chapter 2, verse 33. It says this. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Acts 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Christ promised that the Holy Spirit would come. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come. And that He would be our comforter, and that He would be our teacher, and that He sanctifies and seals God's people. It is He who teaches us of our lost condition. It is He who teaches us of our desperate need for Christ. And it is He who regenerates us. and who grants us faith and repentance to turn to Christ, to believe on Christ. And the believer sits and is left in awe because this is a mighty work of God. And this ties right in with Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. It's His doing. If you're saved here today, it's because God has saved you. And every one of His people He shall save will be a work of His grace. And we give Him all the praise. He brings dead sinners to life. He brings the dead to life. You ever seen a dead person come back to life by their own power? Well, that's what religion says, right? Just walk the aisle or pray a prayer. Beloved of God, our Savior saves His people from their sins. And the Holy Spirit makes dead people dead spiritually, physically alive, but dead spiritually alive. And if you are one of those, rejoice. Because this is the mighty work of God. And it's because the Son revealed it to you through the Spirit. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. He teaches us the spirituality of the law. Christ teaches us, the Holy Spirit teaches us the spirituality of the law and how we're all guilty before God and before His law, right? When Christ spiritualized the law, everyone's done. They were already all done, they just didn't know it. But when He spiritualized it, my goodness. When He said you're angry with your brother, then you kill them. When He said if you look on a woman with lust, you committed adultery in your heart. When He spiritualized that law, everyone's done. Everyone. We're all guilty before God and before His law. And He teaches us about the sufferings of Christ. Reveal unto His people that Christ suffered all these things for us. And the believer says, for me. For me. Christ suffered for my sins. Oh. And He reveals to us that God will and must punish sin. Now think of this. I want you to ponder this. He reveals to us, the Holy Spirit reveals to us that God will and must punish sin, either in the substitute or in the sinner himself. Either in the sinner substitute or in the sinner himself. Now, most people never ask why Christ suffered and died. But the believer has it revealed to them that Christ died for them. And this leads us to a greater love for our Savior. Trusting our eternal souls to Him. Ruined sinners are regenerated. And then we rest in the atoning work of our Savior. And we who are redeemed, Brother Joe and I were talking about this, we who are redeemed are miracles of the grace of God. In Christ. Now we don't feel that way, do we? But we are. And it's the Holy Spirit who produces faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in us. The unwilling are made willing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says this, in whom ye trusted, you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Your salvation, brother. The gospel of my salvation. Your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He seals His people. They are His. They are bought with a price. And the price of that purchase is the precious blood of Christ. And they will be with Him in glory forever. Forever. And all this is revealed to the chosen sinner by the Holy Spirit of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ reveals this to His people by the Holy Spirit of God. And God's people cry, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. is Jesus Christ, my Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Thee, seeing in the Scripture today that the only reason we who are Your people have a knowledge of Thee is because You have revealed it to us by Thy Holy Spirit, and that we are regenerated and born again by Thy Spirit, and that You alone have the power and the authority and the intention to save Your people from their sins, and You did it. And now You regenerate Your people. We're born again. We pray, Lord, that if it's Your will, that You'd use this message for Your glory, and that You might draw in one of Your lost sheep and save their souls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.